Welcome to the Irish Pagan School podcast. Your hosts are authors and co-founders of the Irish Pagan School here in County Waterford, Ireland, Laura O'Brien and John O'Sullivan. Fáilte.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Pagan School YouTube channel. And as ever, we are committed to giving you free teaching content here. So I have one of our illustrious teachers at the Irish Pagan School, Geraldine Morkins Byrne, here with myself, Laura O'Brien. I'm one of the co-founders. And we are here today to talk about keys, the widow's keys. So, Geraldine, what is a widow's key and why have I got one in my possession, not being a widow?
Well, the widow's key, technically any key that has, see this kind of large head, like that, you'll see them referred to as widow's keys.
Right.
But for the purpose in Ireland of using them for various little things, little magics, they should be a widow's key. So when a widow died, her key, her main big key, was very prized. Now you'll see this across Wicklow, you'll see it in Wexford, you'll see it all around Waterford, all around the coast, you'll see it in Clare as well. So it seems to kind of be a very much down the Leinster coast, and then there's a gap, and then it's in Clare. Now, if anyone has ever come across this in the Midlands or Kerry or anywhere, I'm here to hear about it.
I did find one entry specifically mentioning the widow's key from Ducas. From Cork, sorry.
From Cork. Well, I have to actually have a look for that.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. So what we have here are literally widow's keys, and you have one now. These were collected. Now, my dad had these in his possession. And this is, each one of these would have come from a woman of the neighbourhood. And we know, like, one was from a next door neighbour who lived, like, at the time I'm talking, these were tenement buildings. So you would have had three, four families, like on each floor, practically. A lot of families lived in one room. So we're kind of talking between kind of 1880 to the 1940s, 1950s. One of them is probably from just a little bit later than that, like 1950. But again, this type of key, the locks that they would have been opened were long gone. Yeah. It was gone to much more modern locks, but the keys were held onto. So we know basically the provenance of each of these keys. And I have gifted one to you, which you will hopefully eventually use. And I would just say that the best day for doing this is Samhain.
That was the plan. I was saying before we came on camera that ever since I got it, it's been sitting here on my desk, and I'm calling it my bonding phase, you know, where I'm just, we're just making friends currently, but Samhain is the plan.
Now, keys were used for various different ways. There's reports of people putting keys into Bibles and particular verses to see if somebody is guilty or if something will come about, it's yes or a no question. That was very much a Protestant tradition. And you will find it in Ireland, but it is usually being recounted by Protestant servants or domestics within a Protestant household. And a few different accounts of maybe like the lady of the house doing it to see if the sale of land would go through. There's accounts that are older that link it to guilt and innocence. But among the Irish peasantry, my proud roots, we have a very simple form of divination. Now, at the time, this is what would have been used, lead. Now, they would have melted the lead down. These are fishing leads, but they would have had chunks of lead for various things and various reasons.
Tea boxes, apparently. Tea boxes were a good source of lead.
And my next statement will just make everyone recoil in horror when you find out, if you melt down lead, in fact, if you use lead at all, it's dangerous. When you melt it down, it releases tiny noxious particles into the air that travel huge distances and linger for a very long time and are catastrophic for your health. So we don't use this anymore. Ever. These are fishing ones that I keep for fishing, and they're not actually fully lead. They'd be lead alloy, but they go back in the fishing box. When I was a child, people did use lead, and I have memories of lead. Used But we don't do that anymore. So what we use now, generally speaking, is candle wax. Mm. It's simple, it's effective, and it has pretty much the same effect.
Yeah.
And you can use it in the same way. There's one thing now I have to say. I heard from someone quite recently, and they started talking about this and saying that they were using different coloured waxes for different, you know, and I was like, that's grand, but like, nah, that's not traditional. Just so we're clear.
Yeah.
There's no harm in dicking it up with whatever way you want to do it. But when you consider it started with this, with lead pellets, no, it's just candle wax. It doesn't have to be anything. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't even have to be any kind of candle wax. So you light your candle. And that's what I'm going to do here. This is the Tiger heart-shaped candle that we use when we can't find birthday candles for adults in my house. So we just put this on and go, ah, yes, it's grand. It'll do.
Grand. Stick it on top of the cake.
It'll do. Letting that melt a bit to get some wax. I probably should have lit it actually before this, but you live and learn. Mm. So then essentially the wax is poured through the hole.
Mm.
So some of them had clear holes like this. Mm. Some of them had, see the little three-pronged hole like that. And it didn't seem to matter which. You had the two-pronged. It didn't matter which. You poured it in. There were two ways of looking at the thing you formed in the water.
Mm.
One is, for example, the texture of it. If it's bubbled, that has a set of meanings. If it went into a regular or irregular shape, that was important. And then the other was very simple and straightforward shapeology. He was like, if it looks like a boat, it's a boat. Yeah. If it looks like a bird, it's a bird.
Yeah, like more akin to reading the tea leaves or scrying or that kind of thing.
Very, very much like that. Yeah. And you know the way now you can buy like a book that says this is how you read tea leaves.
Mm.
But in reality, when people did this as a routine kind of thing, everyone had their own.
Absolutely, yeah.
Of looking. Yeah. It is very like that. So if someone goes like, oh, no, this means this. No, it just didn't.
No.
Everyone who did it had a different way of doing it.
But if you think of everybody has their own culture, their own experiences, whatever, your brain is actually speaking to you in symbols that are relevant to you. And this is what I always talk about. All my dream work classes, my journeying, you know, relationships, Morrigan, any of my divination stuff. You have to learn your own language of symbolism, you know, because like, you know, and even if you take a cow, right? So John, who grew up in Finglas and had no experience of cows, would have a very different relationship to the cow as a symbol than I would, who, you know, spent most of my childhood in Clare, right? So even that. But then if you go back to the Iron Age in Ireland, a cow would mean something completely different, right?
Absolutely.
Hmm. So and somebody in, you know, Idaho would have a different relationship with cows than somebody in, you know, New York City would, you know. So a cow is not just a cow, like.
No, it's not. And that's I think there are, again, now one time I saw this being done and years, many, many years ago, there was an indiscriminate blob, as far as I could see, in the water.
Right.
And the person looking at it exclaimed, it's a letter, it's a letter. Because what they wanted and what they had been hoping for was a word from somebody.
Mm.
And the person who poured it went, yes, it's a letter. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's a bit of a swizz, isn't it? That's a bit of a swizz. But a letter came.
Right.
And the person waiting for the letter, they were at peace. They were no longer upset. They were like, yeah, there's a letter coming.
Mm.
And then I went, okay, like it's arrogant of me now to go, you did that wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes it's the person looking at it
who
knows what they're seeing. Yeah. And you have to step back and go, okay, you know.
The message is not for me, it's for them, you know, and like it's not for me to interpret. Hello, this is Laura O'Ryan, and I want to make sure that you get access to our free gift for you, which is the Roots and Reverence Ancestral Connection Toolkit.
So this is a five-day guided exploration, which will be delivered to you free over email series, and it's as enlightening as it is grounding. It's designed for anyone who feels a kinship with Irish paganism, whether you carry Ireland in your blood, your heart, or the soul memories of lifetime past. There is no cost, only the promise of authentic connection to Ireland, as ever from us. So go to irishpagan.school/roots, that's R-O-O-T-S, to get your ancestral connection toolkit. And again, it's all free, delivered free over 5 days. There's resources, there's exercises, there's connection, there's all sorts of cool stuff. So I hope you enjoy that. It is our free gift to you for being a valued podcast member. So back to the episode.
So we have water,
mm-hmm.
and we have this. I can't really do this on camera so handy because I've seated myself in a really stupid place, but this is it. You can just take my word for it. I am now pouring a bit of wax through the hole
mm-hmm.
in there. And now the other thing that was really important was to get it cleanly through the hole.
Right.
That was a big thing. So if you got it cleanly through the hole, it was considered to be very, this is going to be good. This is going to be a really good kind of thing. And what has come up on mine is a series of small blobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm looking at the blobs. Now, if I was really going to do this for divination, I wouldn't be just chatting on camera and pouring it carefully.
Of course, yeah.
What I'd say to people is you need to set yourself, you need to set the scene. You need to be in the right frame of mind. You need to have a definite question in your mind and you need to be in that frame of mind. But we're not doing that. This is just a demonstration of the of the actual technique. So what has come out is two linked pieces. One is smaller than the other. And that... Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that is a woman in profile.
That's exactly what I thought as well. It's like one of those cameo brooches.
It's a cameo brooch, exactly. So to me, that is an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
It is something connected to the past. It is something connected to either like, again, you were saying like a cameo brooch, something antique or something from the past. And the other two things that came out are two perfect little round circles. Now, traditionally, if you get round, perfect rounds like that, that's good fortune.
Right.
So a round, I think I've managed to lose you there.
Hang no, you're here.
Am well, I here?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, I can't see you. Hang on a second. What I did was, and please don't tell the technical department in my house, on the keyboard. I think I got away with it. So you would put those together. You have the profile of a woman. You have it, it's reminiscent of antiquity, brooches, jewelry, ornate parties. You know, you've got connections. And then you look at the two little round dots.
Yeah.
And you see where they were in relation to her. And they actually were circling around that. So you go, okay, this something good. This is a symbol of good fortune. This is and it could be connected to an older woman in your family and so on. But if someone has asked you about work, that is a pretty useless interpretation.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
So you do have to have context as well.
Unless they're about to inherit a load of money from a rich old aunt.
And never have to work again.
There you go.
That would be my preferred. I'm now happy. Let's see. Obviously, you know, some people have a knack for divination. Mm. And that's another interesting thing with the widow's key is these would have been given to somebody in a family or a community who was held to have the knack. Now, that's not saying they're a witch. That's not saying they're even a magical practitioner. That's not saying anything. It's just saying they had someone had the cure.
Yeah.
Someone had the sight. Someone had the knack. And you'll often find that with reading the fire divination, folk divination, in communities, mm-hmm. there's generally one person who's held me, she's very good at that, or mm-hmm. he's got, oh no, mm-hmm. he's got the knack mm-hmm. for that. Now, in my dad's family, his mother, Christina Monaghan, born Christina Hayes, she was considered to be psychic. Mm. Now, that's what we'd say now. Back then, they said she had sight or she had a gift. Mm. And my dad used to tell stories about this and things that she said and predicted. But her family would have been seen as having, you know, the knack, the key. Mm. These were probably, some of these were given to her because of their age. It was almost certainly her that would have gotten.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them were definitely, one of them was definitely given to him. Because, like, but at least one or two of these were given to her. Mm. So it makes sense culturally. Someone's held to have that little knack or that like gift for doing it. So people would have come to her and asked, what is the am I getting married? Does he like me?
Yeah.
You know, is it any point in continuing? Is the business going to fail? Everyone would have their little concern. Mm. And this would be a very simple way of finding out.
Getting some extra information.
Yeah. And again, culturally, you know, you see this around again. There's a chap called, now just to refresh myself, Thomas Johnson Westrop.
Yeah, yeah.
Archaeologist and kind of folklorist. And in that, what I'd like to think of as the dodgy period, where they wrote down a lot of things. He did do a folklore survey of Clare, and it is remarkable in its lack of interpretation. Mm. He just writes down what he was told, which makes it invaluable. It's
absolutely
not like
Yeats retelling the stories or Lady Wilde putting her own flavor on things.
Lady Gregory,
Lady Greg, we don't mention her name.
No.
She gives me vibes.
Yep. But he literally just, it's very much and it's quite dry, which is why it wasn't as popular. You know, because like, and then a servant told me that. And then this woman in a house showed me. You know, so he actually has one of the better recorded stories about the keys, and using the key and what a lead being poured or tin being poured through and so on. So, and that is just like from Clare, it's like an outlier, you know what I mean? So it's really important because it suggests that while we don't maybe have records of it, it suggests it was much more common and widespread than we think. But again, it would have been done at certain times and obvious days, Halloween, Samhain, any liminal day like Bealtaine or that. But people did it on days that were important to them. So if there was a local pattern or feast day, that was a really good day for doing this. If you had a really important event in your own family, you would ask the person with the gift, come and do it.
Yeah.
So say someone was getting married, you'd be in. Like, this would be the night before. Like, come on, like, will they have any babies? Like, how many grandchildren will I have? You want to see, like, is she making a mistake? You know, will she be a good wife? You know, so you had mothers-in-law and mothers and like, they're come in here, I need to find out. And that was considered to be part and parcel of preparations for weddings, funerals, big days. Yeah. So you have the liminal days nationwide, but you have your personal liminal days.
Yeah. The life rites side of things. Yeah, absolutely.
Big times. Yeah. And they would be days when everyone would be open to questions. Like, so you really want to know, you're going to get an answer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's it. So that essentially is divination. There you go.
That's awesome. And I just want to kind of like tack on there as well, that the whole idea of the widow like holding power was so strong, you know. My friend Amy O'Riordan just did her master's, The Crafty Cailleach, here on YouTube if anybody's interested.
Love her.
She has some amazing stuff up, but she did her master's on the widow's curse. And this concept of the widow's curse, you know, when you actually dig into like the socioeconomic side of the history, you know, what you have is women who like have lost their husband, right? So a widow back in the 1800s was a very different situation than a widow today on social welfare, right? You know, who could remarry or who could whatever. it just, you know, it very rarely happened that remarrying was because she was kind of past her prime, right? And she had very little social power. Well, very little economic power, let's say, you know, probably at one of the lower rungs or the lowest rungs of society. But then in Ireland, what we have is that they have this vast store or access to, you know, magical power. Or the idea of this widow's curse was specifically being used against landlords, you know, the big estate landlords. And it was almost like the, you know, the last resort was the widow's curse, or the leverage that you were able to use to make sure that you didn't end up out on the street. I'll curse you if you do, you know. And then, you know, like when you get into the widow's keys, then like that has to be a connection, you know, because the key obviously in the home and all the rest of it. Like, so there is this long tradition to it.
Huge. And I would also, and again, what you're saying is sparking something. Mm. These keys came from women in the inner city of Dublin. And there is a difference as well with their experience and the rural. I mean, you have to remember Irish tenements were the worst in Western Europe.
Yeah.
Our death rate, infant mortality, it's horrific. I mean, I've done my own family history, and you just, your heart breaks every time you see it over and over again. It's unimaginable poverty.
I know my own nana lost a brother and a sister to TB. They were in Thomas Street there, and you know, and they were in a relatively good situation. He was the fire chief. Her dad, like, was the fire chief in Thomas Street Fire Station, and her mom was a midwife. So they were in a relatively good situation, but they, you know, two kids out of, what, six, I think, you know, gone to TB. Like, and that's, you know.
And overcrowding and just lack of resources. To be a widow in those circumstances, and many of the one you have, that woman reared six children. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. These are women. These weren't out there. They were the women who had street stalls, who walked the street, who swept the streets, who went into the posh shops where they wouldn't let those women behind a counter to serve, but they washed up and they cleaned. And these women kept their families going.
Yeah.
They had immense, there was a feeling like, and it's an archetype within Dublin, is that strong widow.
Absolutely, woman. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you see it in popular culture.
I mean, shivers just thinking. I think my key is humming over here.
but you know what I mean? Like you are holding a legacy here. These are women who, and mine's after getting very heavy in my hands.
Yeah.
Well, these were women who fought. And they could have given in. I mean, how could you blame them for giving in? But they didn't.
Yeah.
And to have a key to your front door, Laura, to have that key meant you were surviving. Yeah. It meant you were winning. Yeah. You had, and you might be paying rent, like it wasn't your front door, as we would understand
I know,
now. But you had a front door key.
You had a roof over your kids' heads.
Yeah, you were winning at life. This was it. And those symbols, and probably, like, I mean, we're sitting here articulating it, and probably the people at the time didn't think that deeply about it, but they were instinctively drawn to it, and
I'm
they knew
feeling
that
it. Like I'm
That's it. We're having a moment.
Seriously.
And like but think about those women. You know, like they were the people we should just respect and emulate. Like they did so much. In the teeth of almost unimaginable situations. And you'll see down the country, obviously, there are rural situations that are similar and just as hard. And as you say, the woman cursing the landlord rather than be evicted. And in Dublin, you have and Limerick and Cork, you have the city widow, you know, and this is it. Maybe it's only one room.
Yeah.
With no indoor toilet. You know?
Yeah.
Air room. Yeah. And it's the key, you know. And that's the legacy.
Well, I'm going to have to finish this picture because I'm quite emotional right now.
Okay, it's a good day, Beige. Like, I make you cry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mean, I'm not like. I think she's going to have to sleep under my pillow tonight.
Keep her close.
Yeah. So this is part of our bonding. This is good.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to point out is that you also have a really good class at the Irish Pagan School on along these lines of Reading the Fire, Irish Traditions of Divination. I mean, you have six fantastic classes with us currently as we record this. I'm sure there'll be more in the future. But that one in particular, I think if people have enjoyed this video, Reading the Fire, the Irish Traditions. And I mean, a little bit of the urban paganism as well. So we're talking about like Dublin women. But yeah, so go to irishpaganschool.com. You can go into the category, you can sort by magic, you can sort by Geraldine's name under the author section. And we'll put links below as well to these video or to these classes, because Geraldine, you are a wealth of knowledge, and we are so glad and so lucky and so blessed to have access to your knowledge and your teaching. So I do appreciate you.
You're very kind.
I'm not known for my kindness. I'm known for my honesty.
Being okay. Honest is kind. A certain.
Yeah. So check the links below. There's links to all sorts of good stuff, both free and paid material. And definitely subscribe to the channel and check out the other videos. We also have our warding. You do have a hexing and warding class at the Irish Pagan School, but we have a warding video specifically for protections for the home, which goes along with the key situation, I suppose.
Yeah.
So go and check that out. And yeah, we'll see you in the next video, Geraldine. We'll see you next time.
See you again. Bye bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a positive review in your podcast listener. Then head over to irishpaganschool.com and enroll in one of our free or paid courses. Slán go fóill, and we will see you next time.